B-Pod Studios.
It's the 3 o'clock hour. 3 o'clock hour features our man in the trenches covering the Eagles. ESPN.com. Jesse McMahon. It's the 3 o'clock hour. It is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. All right, the Eagles have been very active, but there's the Aguilar thing hanging over. There's the running back possibility, and now there's a linebacker situation. For the latest, let's talk to the man who covers the birds for ESPN.com, Tim McManus. Hello, Tim.
What's going on, Mike?
Tim, let's settle this Sandra Bullock thing. You look like a man with good taste.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Are you a fan?
I'm not. Well, I think that she's pretty, but not hot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When I look at her, I'm like, yeah, she's an attractive woman.
Right. There's really no sex appeal to her.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
My preference, I like Rachel McAdams. That's probably.
I was just going to mention Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
I was just going to throw her in there.
Yeah.
Nope, like the flag.
You know the cartoon where the hearts come out of your eyes, like that. You know that's me for Rachel McAdams.
I agree with you. I'm a big Rachel McAdams fan.
I understand.
Same here, Mike.
Real fast, just the reason it's a flag is she's cuter as a brunette. She's always a blonde in movies, except for Wedding Crashers, so it's a flag on the play.
Wedding Crashers is her peak.
And I've seen her many times.
That's my favorite. Yeah,
she's a natural brunette. You can tell it's a fake blonde. All right, let's talk about the realities now of the Philadelphia Eagles and what they did and what they are planning to do. First of all, the Aguilar thing going to come down today. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, from what I'm being told is that the plan is to keep Aguilar on the roster when it turns 4 o'clock, and that's when his $9.4 million for this upcoming season becomes guaranteed. And my read on it is the intention is to keep him. And for him to have that number at least for now. I'm not picking up the vibe that there is a renegotiation that is imminent. Doesn't mean it won't happen down the line, but not something that is currently at the finish line or anything like that. So it seems like they're just going to be rolling with Aguilar at that $9.4 million for now.
That seems to be against the grain of how they think, because he's now, with that number, the sixth highest paid player on the team.
It is a big number. And, Jeffrey is making a big number. He's around $12 million in salary this year. And the Sean Jackson contract is going to come in at 3 years, $27 million. That averages out to $9 million per season. And so there is a lot of money that's invested at the wide receiver position. And that seems not like a common practice necessarily for the Eagles. And so, I was thinking, and I think a lot of people were kind of thinking, well, that must mean that Aguilar's on his way out, or they're going to restructure this thing. Something's got to give, but at the moment, nothing's giving, and it just seems like they're sort of loading up that receiver.
Wow. So they're paying their receivers, and not counting Goddard, $35 million for four dudes.
That's a lot of cash. It's a lot of money. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is they're not always going to have this luxury. I think that he's eligible for a new contract, and within the next year he'll probably get one. And once you start committing $30+ million to your quarterback, you can't carry as many veteran players at such big numbers as the Eagles have the luxury of now. And so I guess part of their thinking would be, instead of weakening our slot receiver position, if we can figure out a way to make the numbers work, why not put our best foot forward while we have this kind of financial flexibility? And that seems to be what they're doing.
All right. Now, a lot of analysts are split on the acquisition of Deshaun Jackson. What's your stand on this?
I think it's good from a field perspective. This offense clearly works best when they have a stretch receiver working opposite a big physical one like Jeffrey. You could see it with Andy Reid's offense when he was here in Philadelphia. You could see it in Andy Reid's offense now in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. And you can see how the Doug Peterson's offense operates when they have a guy who can burn down the sidelines as opposed to when they can't. And last year it was a big problem for them. So I think it's going to be a bonus. And if you look at sort of the metrics surrounding Deshaun Jackson's year last year, his speed hasn't really fallen off and he's still able to get it done with the deep ball. So I think short term, it's good for them. As we know, there's more to the puzzle when it comes to Jackson. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. When he's in a bad mood, you know it. He has the ability to change the temperature of a team. At least he did his first time around. And so that's something that, you know, you have to know what you're getting into. You have to have a plan for it. And, you know, and so you can't say it's going to be a slam dunk thing chemistry wise, but at least they have a history with them, and they feel like, you know, bringing them back in, they know what they're doing, and that it's going to be a benefit for the team.
All right, interesting dynamic, though, because in the offseason, the least we learned is that Carson Wentz has a little bit of a red ass. So now you've got the wide receiver. Like, how is that? Some quarterbacks can play that off. Like, a guy like Foles will probably be able to play that off and handle it. How is this these two A-type personalities click?
Great question. And one thing that I'm fascinated about is how Jackson sort of reintegrates into the locker room, because he left as an alpha. He left as one of, you know, the influencers. And now he comes in and there's already sort of an alpha group established. And so how does he fit in? What's his chemistry going to be like with Jeffrey and with Aguilar? And as you mentioned, maybe most importantly, with Carson Wentz, I would say that, you know, winning is a cure-all, and what can make a wide receiver happiest is if the team is winning and he's being productive, and then when he's running all of those nine routes, that there's someone actually slinging the ball to him. And I think that Wentz will be really comfortable, you know, just chucking it up there for Jackson to get. And so I think that's really a lot of it that can ease whatever potential issues that you would come across, is that if they have that on-field chemistry, that'll take care of
it. I'm just curious now, he comes back to, yo, man, I'm open. What right. What's the quarterback? What's his response? Donovan's was to say, "Shut up, T.O." Right?
That's why this thing's not a slam dunk, because we haven't seen those two in the same bubble before, and because I don't think that Wentz has really had that. I mean, a lot of this, what was good about the 2017 offense in particular, is everybody had sort of the selfless mentality, and I don't care if I get one catch or five catches, as long as we win, yada yada. And that was kind of the mantra for him, and to be determined whether that continues with Jackson in the fold.
All right, the Malik Jackson signing, a real good signing for them, although it leaves them depth wise on the defensive line. Where were they look to go from there?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing for them, that he fits what Jim Schwartz likes out of an interior defensive lineman, somebody that can slash, that can penetrate in the pass rush, and Jackson is really good at that. He's topped out at 8 sacks, and I think it's going to be a good situation with him with Fletcher Cox. Can you double team Cox all the time when you have somebody that is good of a pass rusher as Jackson is? And that's something that will be a good problem, you know, for the Eagles, and a bad problem for opposing offensive coordinators. So I do think that that's good. And I don't think they're done, but they are set up in a position where they don't really have to reach now further in free agency. And they believe that they're going to come out of the draft more than likely with a defensive lineman or two. So I think that they're in pretty good shape with, you know, the starters with Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham and Jackson and Cox, with Chris Long, as if he decides not to retire, coming back. You have a decent semblance of a rotation that will be added to between now and April.
All right, they'll stay defensively then. The linebacker situation, the Hicks going to Arizona, they don't seem to be that perturbed by it, because they're mostly a nickel-dime team. But what are they looking to add a linebacker, free agency, or will they draft that position?
I think that they're going to add a linebacker or two before it's all said and done, for sure. I mean, you can understand them not paying kind of big money for Hicks given his injury history, but they're going to have to replenish some way, somehow. You know, you have Bradham, and you know, they seem to like Kamu Grugier-Hill to a certain extent. Nate Gary's in there. They re-signed Paul Warlow, but you're going to have to add depth and give yourself some options, especially if injury comes and hits them. And so there's a couple guys that are out on the market. It's not like a very robust linebacker market, but Zach Brown just got released from Washington. Guys like Josh Bynes, KJ Wright, Jamie Collins are out there. I don't know that a lot of them are household names that people get super excited about. And I don't know that the Eagles are going to be real aggressive in their spending when it comes to linebacker. But you can be sure that they'll add probably a veteran linebacker, and we'll be looking in the draft.
All right, running back. Do you expect them to sign a player like Tevin Coleman? Now, Ajayi apparently still in the picture. Sproles apparently still in the picture. Like, what's going to happen here at the running back situation?
Yeah, I think that they're going to add a couple running backs, and I think that one will happen during this free agency period. You know, there's some people around the league that think or were going into this free agency period expecting the Eagles to go pretty hard charging after Coleman. And so we'll see if that ends up being the case. The issue there, or the circumstances they're dealing with, is it seems like, and would be logical to think, that they're not alone in their interest for Coleman. And so it depends on what the numbers get to and where the Eagles' walkaway numbers are to see if that happens or not. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are pursuing him. And I think the other guy that maybe you could look at as another option would be Jordan Howard. That would be a trade scenario. But he's not the same type of ideal fit as Coleman. Coleman can do it. He can line up anywhere. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, whereas Howard's more traditional. He's lining up behind center, and he's more of a power back, straight ahead kind of runner. But the Eagles have been successful with that as well. I mean, just look at some of the backs that they had when they won the Super Bowl. And there's a couple different ways to attack this. So I would think that Coleman would be sort of the preference. But if that doesn't work out, there's a guy like Jordan Howard, Duke Johnson from Cleveland. Both of those would be trade scenarios. But I do think the Eagles are going to walk away with the back.
So no Ajayi, no Sproles, you're thinking?
Well, I mean, Sproles could come back. Ajayi, he's got a lot of injury stuff going on with him. He had the broken back last year. He's always had sort of a bad knee, and then he gets the ACL. So maybe if it's at the right price, but I don't know that they're going to bank on him being like a main part of it, or, you know, of him being sort of the feature back necessarily.
All right. Sounds good. And in the draft, are you thinking they're going to go defensive line? Do you think they'll add a running back? What's the plan of attack, you think?
Some of it sort of depends on the way the rest of free agency shakes out, but I do think that, you know, this is probably the biggest chance they have had since 2009 of taking a running back up high. And, they have 2 second rounders. I think it increases the chances that maybe they'll be aggressive there. And, linebacker, I know that they had their eyes on linebackers. They had their eyes on running backs. And in the defensive secondary, when they were at the combine, and for sure, defensive line is somewhere that they're going to go at least once, I think, with their draft pick. So those are probably the areas that they're eyeing up.
Tibby, sounds good. As an outgoing prize, you win 2 tickets to a Sandra Bullock film festival.
You got anything in the Rachel McAdams category?
Yeah, well, Rachel's next week.
All right, you got it.
There is Tim McManus. Rachel McAdams, I was just ready to bring her up before he hit that. Big time, Rachel McAdams.
Oh, her biggest role was what, The Notebook?
Rachel McAdams, I didn't see a Notebook.
You didn't see The Notebook?
No.
You got to see The Notebook.
You got to see The Notebook. I'm saying that as a man. You have to watch it. You've never seen The Notebook?
No.
Why?
No interest. It's just kind of sappy, isn't it? It's kind of a sappy Nicholas Sparks thing, isn't it?
It's kind of sappy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't handle it the way that he did. But it's still...
Now, that's for you and the wife cozied up.
That movie,
Mark Martinez loves that movie too. He and the wife cozied up.
I saw that movie before I met my wife.
You did? Well, that's a violation.
Why? When did it come out?
I don't know anything about The Notebook. I've never seen it.
No, I definitely saw that before I even met my wife. And I think
really?
I was watching it like
2004.
Yeah, it definitely was.
You weren't watching it yourself.
Now, I was like 4 people watching it. I think about it. It was 3 guys and a girl watching it. Uh-huh. Sitting around the house drinking beer watching The Notebook. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
2005.
You know, David Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
What's up, Dave?
Nice interview. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yes. I ain't worried about Jackson. I think guys like Peters and Cox will put him in place right away. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's what I have a... You brought a perfect thing up there about the Sixers. They were terrible in that game last night. I was so furious.
They got booed like 4 different times during that game. They got booed by their crowd.
They gave booed. I was here and I heard it. And I think I could like a guy like Brett Brown better if he would do something like that once in a while.
I think last night needed it. That team stinks that they played. And they're running up and down the floor on their transition defense was horrible. They turned the ball over 22 times against Mutz. Now, if you can't get control of that as a coach...
They're cocky.
Listen, last night it was obvious. They knew they could beat that team.
and they weren't willing to play. You can't jake it, though, coming down the stretch. These are the times where you have to bury teams, get it together with the system that you have and the players that you have, and zero in on excellence.
Like last week, Dan, in Chicago. That was a disgrace.
Yeah, the Chicago thing's gone. This was a new chapter.
Yeah, but
last night.
It was in 1 week. It's only within 1 week. You've got to blow these teams out.
Chichich. Chady Usman. Come on.
I know. Hey.
Sexton looked like, my God, Tiny Archibald last night.
I know. It's crazy. You're right. He's got to do something. You got to take control. The girl you're talking about, she's like a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
She's a little higher than that. Listen, she's an attractive woman. She's just not.
No, she reminds me of Dana Loesch. Not Dana Loesch.
No, I don't know who Dana Loesch.
She's one of the gun control freaks.
No,
NRA. Back in the day, I knew who your girl was.
It doesn't do it.
I'll name the movie. It's called Wild Things.
Wild Things. I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it's your girl, Denise Richards.
Oh, yeah, Denise Richards. Oh, and in her day?
Back in the day, that was your girl.
Denise Richards was spectacular.
Yeah.
Back in the day. In that movie?
I have a question, buddy.
God. What?
Can I have a question?
Oh, you want a question? Okay.
I want to go one for the 10 minutes.
You said I have a question.
No, that's all I'm
doing. All right, let's go. We're back into general knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Where would you find the Sea of Tranquility?
The moon.
That is correct. The moon. Dave from Holmesburg cashes in for the big prize, which is, let's see, it is a pair of passes, the American Red Cross Red Ball. Very cool. I've been there. Very cool. A lot of fun. Tate Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tate.
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Tate?
How you doing? I think that, you know, the days of the coaches running the teams is over. The players run the teams now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Embiid and you're Coach Brown, what would you say to me?
If I would have pulled him out of the game.
No, I'm Embiid. Come on, let's go.
I'm pulling him out of the game as he's walking there. I'll go, let me know when you're ready to play. It's just simple. I'm not berating him. I'm not doing anything. Let me know when you're ready to play.
Okay, so then I say, well, let me know when you're going to get Ben Simmons to shoot.
Yeah, but come on, man. You're not going to say that during the course of a game.
I mean, what's the difference?
The difference is you have to coach the freaking team. That's the difference.
How is he going to flex his chest? Because I'm dogging it, but not.
Well, I don't care how he flexes his chest. I got to do what I got to do. I got to slog out there. He's not playing. Right,
so what would your answer be, Coach? When you going to make Ben Simmons shoot?
First of all, he's not going to ask that question. So
what would your answer be? I'm asking you the question.
Soon. I'll say. Now sit down.
All right. Well, I'll come back in the game soon.
Yeah. All right. Well, then if you don't have to come back in the game, if you don't want. If that's the way you want to pull, you want to walk out here in front of all these people, that's fine by me. But you're not playing to my satisfaction right now, and I'm letting you know it.
Find me one coach that can do that anymore.
Popovich.
Yeah, right. He can't even do it. What you call him? Tell him the kitchen's behind.
Who?
The guy in Toronto.
Kawhi? Well, that's why I get traded. I'm talking about the guys that are on the team.
Back. Everybody was so afraid of Popovich.
Did you watch the game last night? What would be your move, Tate? Did you see the way he played the first 3 minutes of that game?
I agree with you. But my move, I just feel like people don't, you know, teams don't get up. Teams are thinking about the playoffs and they're up for these little games.
Well, I want them up. That's what I'm saying.
I want a question, too.
All right. Now, here's your question. It's American, let's see. Answers that contain the word fire.
Fire?
Yeah, the word fire.
Fire.
Accidentally shooting at your own forces.
Friendly fire.
That's correct. Friendly fire. This is probably our easiest category.
Somebody got the Harry Potter wrong.
What do you mean?
You said it's the easiest test to fire. Well, somebody already got one wrong in that category.
Yeah, well, that was hard unless you read Harry Potter. Because most of these answers you can get by putting the word fire in. Goblet of Fire was probably the hardest one.
Uh-huh.
Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you with Jennifer Garner over Sandra Bullock. And another one that I think is Terry Hatcher back in her day.
In her day. Spectacular.
Yeah,
another brunette. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Another brunette. So, Well, what was the question you posed about players who bring noise to the locker room and whether we would want them or not?
Yes.
Or?
Well, the diva type of player, would you prefer to have him and try to tame it? Or would you rather go in another direction and avoid that type of player? What I'm saying is the talented player that's going to give you problems, would you take that because of the talent, or would you pass on that?
No, I'm taking that. I mean, I definitely want a guy with some swagger and some emotion. A problem I do have with the diva-type player is if they're arguing about money or if they've got, you know, some type of current criminal activity going against them. Mm-hmm. Those are the type of guys I don't want.
Yeah, I guess.
But those guys with the swagger and the emotion and they want to win,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they may be saying, you know, give me the ball more,
uh-huh.
you know, like, kind of like a Jimmy Butler or, you know, back in the day, T.O. for the 1 year where he was somewhat normal before he got crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely want to take those guys and take the talent. And
see, I think you can outsmart the guys. If you're really a smart coach, you can outsmart a diva by playing into his hands and making him think you're his best friend.
No, I think it's
a skill.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
That's what makes a good coach, too,
right.
being able to handle those types
there
of guys.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here it is, the ultimate history, 20th century history quiz. You give me an ad. Okay. 1996, Dolly, this kind of an animal, was cloned.
That was a sheep.
That is correct. Dolly the sheep was cloned. Boom. 610-632-0975. See, the question MB thrown back to me, when you make Ben Simmons shoot, is not a teammate question. A good teammate would never throw that back to the coach.
He would
and
say
if
that.
He did, I would say, well, I'll get to that. But right now, you're not playing. That's the most important. The issue right now is that you're not playing. That's the issue. Because I got two eyeballs. When you want to play, just tap me on the shoulder and we get you right back in there. Boom. Simple. Back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Misnelli Show. Phillies, by the way, have their Great Big League game tonight in Tampa against the New York Yankees. TV game? Maybe no TV game. I guess Bryce will be in the lineup. We got to follow it on GameCast. Batting third, playing right field. All right, so they got him in the lineup now, playing outfield. Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Andrew Salchunas.
The question is, do you actually care about the Eagles Twitter poll at this point? Or you just want the Sandra Bullock one?
We'll give us both.
All right, we'll give you both.
Yeah,
we have three actually going on right now.
Do we have three polls going on?
We have three, yeah.
Okay.
So the first one, the Eagles-related one, what else will the Eagles do today in free agency? 50% of the people say small moves, 28% say stand pat, 22% say big moves.
Okay.
Poll number two, settle an argument. Who is more attractive, Sandra Bullock or Jennifer Garner? Your Jennifer Garner is in the lead, 54% of the votes, Sandra with 46%. But more people responding...
It's a Tyrone response.
More people responding are saying Sandra, and they can't believe people are voting Jennifer. But to make everybody happy, we also have...
Jennifer's got a substantial lead right now.
We have...
4%. Let's go slow.
This third Twitter poll that we have is, who is more attractive, Ryan Reynolds or Prime Harrison Ford? Ryan Reynolds, 69% of the vote.
Well, it's the ladies' vote.
We gotta make everybody happy.
And if you have persuasion, it's all the way around.
Uh-huh.
Because it was Netflix was talking about how handsome the prime Harrison uh-huh. Ford was. Sandra Bullock, when she looked her best, was, as Devon pointed out, was in a proposal with one Ryan Reynolds. So there's your matchup.
Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. Perfect next door couple.
Well, so is Ryan Reynolds right now. He's dominating.
I'd
Prime
say,
Harrison
I
Ford.
I would say Ryan Reynolds is more attractive than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I would go with, if I voted, and I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Wasn't he the sexiest man alive at one point, Ryan Reynolds?
He was. So was Harrison Ford, though.
He was?
Yeah.
So was Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. He might have won. Women really like him.
Ryan Gosling broke into that little movie called Remember the Titans. He was the guy who was the guy replaced by Petey.
Yes. And was in
I can't handle that. Put Petey in.
He's playing the country music.
Yeah.
The country music when they first got there.
Exactly.
Also in The Notebook, opposite Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, real?
It was Gosling and her.
Gosling and
they
Rachel
were together
McAdams.
In real life then. Didn't last. He's with one Eva Mendes now.
Really?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's with Eva Mendes.
Yeah, a couple kids, I think. Yeah, right. They're doing all right.
Good for them. Kevin in Newcastle. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kev.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I do agree with you about sitting MB, but Mike, what about 4 or 5 games ago that he does that to Jimmy Butler for not engaging? What about if he does that to Ben Simmons?
Correct.
For turning the ball over. And if MB sees that...
Well, there's one thing. Turning the ball over is not being, like, lagging. But I saw very clearly a guy that was going through the motions in the first 3 minutes of that game last night. Now Jimmy Butler doesn't engage. Now, that's a conversation I got to have with him, not during a game, but, like, off the floor. Like, what's going on? Why don't you engage? Now, he may say, because your offense isn't featuring me, in which case I learned a couple things, and I feature him. I get him more involved. If it's my fault, I get him more involved. But last night, I'm managing a game in front of a home crowd against a team that beat them before and they shouldn't have beaten them. And they're playing with the same slug. I got to do something about it at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to punish anybody. What I watched Embiid last night, he won the tap, and all of a sudden he's like lollygag his whole way through the first 3 minutes, and I got ticked off at that.
Gotcha. I got you, Mike.
All right.
And one more thing about DeSean Jackson. I wish everybody stop worrying about him. I mean, how he might be a problem off the field. I think the Eagles looked at that. He was a problem watching. He was a problem in Tampa Bay. I wish people stop worrying about him being a problem off the field. Thanks, Mike.
Well, he's not a problem off the field. He's a problem on the field normally. That's where he's a problem because he's bitching and moaning. He wants the ball more. And he's always been that way. And the Devo wide receivers are like that. You got to find a way to handle that. And that's why I asked McManus, you know, you got what we learned about Carson is that maybe he's not receptive to something like that. Tyrone? You know what I'm saying? Like, DeSean comes back, yo, man, I'm wide open. You know, ignore me. What's his response? His response should be, okay, DeSean, we got you. But you know, you never know what his response is going to be.
Yeah, see,
I don't have the clout to be Dan Marino to say shut the hell up.
No, but if they're winning, he can. Like if Ertz is having if they're up 20-3 on a team, you hit Ertz for a touchdown, you hit Alshon, they're 3-0, and he's doing this in game 4 because he's not getting the ball. You can kind of say, come on, man,
can't do it.
Even if you're winning.
You can't light a match to a stick of dynamite. You're not going to change the fact that he's a stick of dynamite. So it doesn't matter if you're winning. You got to patronize the guy.
What if you
say, all right, I got you. We got you in the game plan. We're going to get you ball. We're going to get you involved.
Hey, they're doubling you, man. But you're opening it up for everybody else, man. You're the reason Ertz got that touchdown, man. It was because of you.
I got you. I feel the same way. I want to get the ball to you. Is that hard? You suck it up and you give the diva what he wants. Give the diva the lollipop. That's all you got to do to manage these guys.
Well, Carson's not rehabbing this year. He'll probably have his wide receiver outing once he knows who his wide receivers are going to be. I bet you they do some bonding once that happens.
I hope it happens.
Because he couldn't do it last year because of the rehab.
Sure as shooting, he's coming back after a pattern where he runs 50 yards down the field and they don't look at him. He's coming back and he's going to bitch and moan.
Yeah.
So you got to know that going in.
But I like that, though. If he's open and he checks down to Ertz, I want Jackson yelling at him because I want Carson looking for the chunk play anyway. So I actually think that not necessarily a negative. If he checks down and Jackson was open, he should get yelled at. Hit Jackson. He was open for 50 yards. So I kind of like that element.
I'm just trying to smooth the whole thing here. Here's what I know, and it's the same thing I knew with T.O. they're semi-insane, both of them, because they're selfish play. They're selfish. They want to be a star. To be a star, you got to get the ball. I know that going in. I got to find a way to lick their boots in these kind of situations.
Are there divas like guys who would have been wide receivers that work in other businesses? Like, is there a person in this building who would have been a wide receiver?
Me. You think? Why do you think I know so much about the science of it? No, 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.346 and a little bit of breaking news. Not good news for Flyer fans. Jake Voracek did not have his suspension reduced by the league. So he will miss tomorrow night's game against the Caps. See? I think the people were right all along. The league is against the Flyers. And they would have reduced that to one game. Very important game for the Flyers. Try to make the playoffs. You think they would cut him some slack?
Yeah, because they have to win now to keep pace, because now they're 5 points behind with the game
exactly
at hand. They have to win.
A lot of fans ought to be outraged right now about that.
I'm kind of outraged. Not in the same way they're outraged, but I'm outraged.
Well, what way are you outraged?
I think two games was ridiculous. Yeah, I do. I thought that all along.
It should have been reduced. But see, the league is going towards the safety thing. They get that safety committee now. So the committee rules, and then the commission's going to overrule it. And it makes the committee look useless.
Yeah, and you have had, they've been lower profile. You've had a lot of, some of the CTE with the hockey guys, too, and some of the dementia and everything, and they're trying to take the head out of it. I get it, but I thought it was one game would have been...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to gear up. It's like a maintenance day for Voracek.
He's got to be ready to roll for the weekend.
And beat him. They get the kid back in goal for this game.
Yep.
I'm getting a lot of feedback, and most people are agreeing with me. It's like a no-brainer, Jennifer Gardner over Sandra Bullock. Some guy wrote me and said, I thought I was the only one. I never got Sandra Bullock either. Here's somebody else I don't get. Gina Davis.
You never got Gina Davis?
Never got Gina Davis either.
Not like League of Their Own?
Nah,
that was her, right?
She looks goofy to me.
All right.
A goofy looking face.
You know,
a lot of people were saying that I missed Julia Roberts.
No, you didn't.
I'm not that big a fan of Julia Roberts.
You didn't miss her. We're good.
So you're not a fan of Julia Roberts either?
Nope.
The mouth is too big.
Yep.
It's like you put the big mouth on the Mr. Potato Head.
That's Gina Davis's. If you don't like her, that's probably for the reason, too.
And how about this one? Out of the blue from the Food Network. Giada De Laurentiis.
Head too big.
See, I've been saying that for years. It's a jackfruit head and an asparagus body.
Yeah, looks like she could...
She got the big head. Pretty.
Yeah.
Face is pretty, but the head is out of proportion with the rest of her body.
Mm-hmm. Like she'd go right through the wall. Bang. Yep.
I thought I was the only one that saw that.
Nope. Now, my favorite brunette, though, other than my wife pointed it out, is Tiffany Thiessen.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen? From the old day?
Yeah, but for me, I can show you her Instagram. No, Tiffany Thiessen now. She does a Food Network stuff. It's held up.
Really?
Amazing. Yes, and I look at Tiffany Thiessen more from 90210 with the passing of Luke Perry. She was actually in more 90210 episodes than Saved by the Bell episodes.
Yeah.
But I'm a super fan.
Yeah, I was a fan of her.
She's held up.
I haven't seen her lately.
I'll show you during a break.
All right, let's go Justin in Millville. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Justin?
Nothing much. I just wanted to share an experience I had today at work. I work for the gas company. I'm out in South Jersey here.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a phone call this morning from my boss. Let me know I'm heading over to Millville to check out a site over there. So I head over there.
200-acre parcel that Mike Trout's going to build a house on, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we already got the scoop from a guy from Millville a couple weeks ago.
You already got the scoop. Okay.
We got the scoop. So wait a minute. So you're laying the electricity there?
No, gas.
What? Gas. Yeah, the sure. gas. You got the gas. So when is this planning to be built?
So that's some of the information that I do not know. But it was just interesting to me because that was news to me when I was talking to my supervisor. They're all talking about Trout this, Trout that. I'm like, is this Mike Trout's like mansion that he's building here? Because this place is huge. And they all go, yeah, it sure is. And a Range Rover comes down the driveway, and it's Tyler Trout, and he's asking for some guy. And it was news to me.
What's that? His brother?
Yeah,
his brother. Well, it is possible that what he's doing is building a Trout family compound.
I mean,
where they all live in separate parts of this big mansion. And then he can, and if it works out for him, then he can move in with his wife, and then the family, wherever, they can stay there, whatever. Or he spends a lot of the time in the winter here, so that would be his place for the winter time.
Right, yeah. Well, it was news to me, so I didn't know if it was an old piece of news or...
Yeah, we had heard it a couple weeks ago from a guy from Millville who was trying to say this is the reason why he's going to be a Philly, because he's making this commitment to the land.
Yep.
Oh, that's good stuff, Justin.
All right, guys.
Thanks, buddy. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Were we in the Sandra Bullock movies? Sandra Bullock movies. All right. Here we go with this one here. In modern day L.A., various ethnic groups are racist against each other, but also full of love.
I have no idea.
Won an Oscar. The movie won the Oscar.
I've only seen two of her movies, The Blind Side and the new one that just came out.
Ah, Bird Box. No, I'm sorry, you're out. Wow, that won the Oscar. Crash, and she played an evil person in Crash. It still lingers with me. I think maybe that's tailored my view of her.
Well, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Austin and Villanova. Austin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Austin?
What's going on, guys? I'm getting kind of concerned about J.J. Redick. It's been two games since Embiid was back. And although Redick shot the three a little bit more efficiently last night, he still looks a little bit tired. He's a little bit short on some of his shots. I think it would do him well.
Maintenance day.
A game or two off.
I agree. I said that yesterday.
And additionally, I think it kind of helps that James Ennis kind of flourished last night. I know I said that I don't like either him or Jonathan Simmons, but Simmons looked terrible.
Yep.
He was awful last night.
Yep.
And so I think that you have room to maybe give JJ.
I totally agree with you. I thought last night they should have gave him off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that if it's old age is finally hitting him because he uses a lot of.
He was 6 for 15 last night, 4 for 7 from three, which is good. But I agree with you. He has not been the same shooter recently. I think he needs some time.
Absolutely. In regards to Embiid, I think you're absolutely right. But I do think that Brett Brown isn't the type of coach to bring the hammer down on a guy like that.
I don't know why not, because maybe that even be more effective. He's not a guy who brings the hammer. All of a sudden he brings the hammer, the team goes, wow, my man means business here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
maybe the shock value of it would have had some kind of impact.
No, and I think that's absolutely right. But I think that Embiid has too much sort of ownership over this team, and rightfully so. But I think that he's in a position where Brett Brown, I think Embiid has all the leverage.
You see, you got to know your people. In the case of Embiid, I think that he has the personality enough not to sulk, but go the other way with that. Get angry enough to, well, really? I'll show you. Now, Butler, you can't do that to, probably, because that would be a sulk. You got to know your people and where you can push. That's not how I would have pushed that button, I'm telling you.
I don't think it would have worked.
It might not have worked, but I would have made a statement. We are not here to play like that in this game.
And it's
not going to happen.
And what happens if you do that and you lose?
You aren't going to lose against that team. That's why you could do it, because you knew you weren't going to lose against them. 610-632-0975. We're rolling to the 4 o'clock hour. We still have a pair of tickets to give away to the Sixers game on Thursday, March 28th versus the Brooklyn Nets, and one spot in our annual knockout game on the court after the game. That'll happen in the 4 o'clock hour. You dazzle us with a good call. You got it. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.